We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Monday, July the 20th, Brevard County, Florida. What a great place to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So welcome to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs. You know, when I make the announcements at church, I'm constantly looking for new and interesting ways to make the announcement so that people will remember them. And so every once in a while, I just try and mix it up a little bit and greet you here. It's great to have you with us here on this Monday. We want to let you know that if your air conditioning or electrical is not functioning properly, that Wyrick Air Heating and Electrical can help resolve any issues that you may be having. You can reach them at 632-9538, 632-9538, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and it would be greatly appreciated. So, you know, there are certain things that you don't necessarily want to try yourself, and so they can get you fixed up, back up and running, and it will be a blessing to you. I want to let you know that this coming week we have our Iron Men's Dinner coming up. That's going to be on Thursday night this week at 7 o'clock. Thursday night at 7 o'clock we're going to have some food, and I'm going to be challenging the men in with some areas in our church. And so we'd like to invite you out to be a part of that, and we're going to do this kind of like a potluck and have people bring in the food this time instead of us preparing it. We had a great banquet the last time that we got together, and so we're looking forward to that. That'll be this Thursday night. Also want to let you know about Wednesdays, our vintage service, and that's at 11 a.m. That's coming up on Wednesday. We're very conscientious about the time, and we sing some songs and worship. We're studying through the book of Isaiah right now. There's a lot of things in the book of Isaiah that if you're just reading through your Bible that you would gloss over, and I'm telling you that the Word of God is very, very full of spiritual truth that He wants us to know. So that will be taking place at, on Wednesday. Come and be a part of that. And then this coming Sunday is the first Sunday of our back-to-school shoe giveaway. And so we'll be giving away free pairs of shoes to the first 50 kids. The actual giveaway will be taking place on August the 2nd. We're going to have a special kids ministry day. It's going to be awesome. And we want you to come be a part of that. But we're asking kids to come the Sunday before as well, because we need to know their shoe sizes and whether they're boy or girl, whatever. And so those two things are coming up July the 26th and August the 2nd. So come and be a part of that. It will be a wonderful, wonderful event. So we're going to go back to Genesis 39 today, Genesis 39. And like we did on Friday's broadcast, I'm just going to begin to read the first six verses, and we'll see how far we get here in this. It said, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So Potiphar, it says, or here was captain of the guard. He was an officer of Pharaoh. So he was a person of serious influence. He was a man under authority and a man over authority. And so for him, recognizing people who did their job with excellence was absolutely imperative. If you were a military official and you went out on a military campaign, and by the way, this was the most successful military, most powerful military force on the planet at the time. So in order to rise to the level of officer, you didn't get there by being incompetent. And so Pharaoh or Potiphar, in order to do his job successfully and to stay alive, is looking for other people who are successful at their job. And he wanted to surround himself with people who were excellent. I heard a minister say one time, he said, "Pastors, surround yourself with people who are smarter than you are. Surround yourself with people who are smarter than you are, and then get out of their way and let them do their ministry." And so that's what I try and do. If I go to the doctor, I don't try and tell the doctor how to do his job. If I go to the banker, I don't try and tell the banker how to do his job. I try and do my ministry with excellence, and I want people to know that, you know, at my church, I'm not there to micromanage them. It doesn't mean that I'm not providing oversight or anything. But that same person said that if he hired a youth pastor and the youth pastor came to him, actually the youth pastor that he had actually told me this statement at one time. He said, "I'd gone to the pastor and I asked him how to do something. And he said, 'If I have hired you as the youth pastor and I have to tell you how to do your job, one of us is unnecessary.'" And so, you know, he wasn't into micromanaging, and I don't micromanage. I've got the world's greatest office manager. I've got a wonderful worship leader. I've got a wonderful children's ministry leader. I've got a tremendous spouse. Our women's ministry is at the highest level it's ever been at. So I like to surround myself with people who are very good at their job. Potiphar, it says that because of what he had seen in Joseph's life at whatever level he was serving, he decided that he would make him overseer of his house. Now, I want to tell you this. There are some people who excuse failure in their lives because of the circumstances that they face. Well, I didn't have this given to me, or I didn't have that given to me. And so I have just adopted the mindset of that comic strip that I used to read as a kid called The Born Loser, you know, where just the cloud of doom and gloom would follow this guy everywhere he went. And, you know, everybody else could be walking in sunshine and he was walking with a cloud of despair over his head. And there are some people who say, well, because my circumstances are not ideal, because they're not utopian, then I have an excuse for my failure. And I tell you that God wants you to make the most out of that situation. Tonight I will be teaching in Fiji at a video Bible school. And I will be wearing a shirt that they presented to me last year after I completed teaching. I taught for three quarters, and the missionaries came home for a brief rest, and they came and they brought me some shirts from this Bible college that had been made. And so last Monday I was getting dressed, and because I'm on Skype and they can see what I wear, it really blesses them if I'm wearing the shirt that they blessed me with. They get all excited about that. In fact, the first time that I did that, they said, you're wearing the shirt. And so last Monday I was getting ready to walk out the door, and my daughter was home, and she says, "What are you wearing?" And I said, well, I'm wearing the shirt that they gave me from the Bible school in Fiji. She said, Dad, that shirt makes you look so old. It makes you look so old. And I said, well, baby, you know, I do this because I want to be a blessing to them, not because I want it to make me look old. I said, but I make this shirt look good, as good as it could possibly look. And she just burst out laughing. And, you know, there's a line in the movie Men in Black as, you know, this the last suit you'll ever wear. And Will Smith says, the difference between you and me is I make this look good. Well, anybody can make a black suit look good. But I want to know this. God wants to know this. In the situation that he has placed you, are you doing the most? Are you making the most out of the opportunity? Are you making the most out of what your current situation is? Because a lot of times people says, well, I don't have this, and therefore I can't accomplish that. I want you to know that that is not the heartbeat of God. It never has been, and it never will be. When the children of Israel got carried off into captivity, they had that same mindset that, well, we're not in our promised land. We're not going to be able to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. And so they pretty much decided they were just going to sit down and be a burden on Babylonian society. And then Jeremiah chapter 29 comes into play, and it says this, verse number 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city which I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. If the children of Israel had just sat down and said, we're not going to continue in our pursuit of God, we're just going to wait until this captivity is over, and they would have died childless. They would have died in heartache because they didn't understand the plan and the purpose of God. God had sent them away to Babylon so that the land could get its rest. That is true. But God also was using that Babylonian captivity to influence Babylon and the Medes and the Persians through Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And because of their society, because of their impact on society, 500 and some years after they are carried into captivity, they were carried off in 586, 587 BC. Years after that, when there's a star that appears in the east that says the Messiah is going to be born, those wise men came because they were looking and expecting, because there had been people living in their community pointing people to God. There were people who were impacted because the children of Israel fulfilled what God said in Jeremiah chapter 9 or 29 and said, you know what? God wants us to increase right where we are. You know what we did? Our first month at Merit Assembly of God, our first Sunday, We had 10. That included the four people in my family, myself, my wife, our son, our daughter. We had 10 the very first week. The second week we had 9. The third week we had 8. And I said, God, at this pace in 4 more weeks, it will just be me, my wife, my son, and my daughter. And at that point in time, I'm not sure how long they're going to stick it out. So our first month, we averaged 9. In January, for the number of services that we had, we averaged 11. And I think, you know, we got to averaging up to like 13 or 14 in February. And I was telling that to a pastor friend of mine, and he said, man, at that rate, you are the fast, you know, from a percentage standpoint, you are the fastest growing church in the country. And we had that mindset, God, you know, this wasn't the ideal setting, you know, when a doorknob can come off in your hand and, you know, you're living in a facility that doesn't have heat or air conditioning. The temperature in our first service was 52 degrees because the heater wasn't working that day. There was no money or anything like that. And there's a gazillion excuses that we could have utilized and said, God is never going to grow in this place. But when you know that God is in control of your life, how many of us have prayed, God, order my steps, direct us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake? And so I knew that we were not at Merit Assembly of God by accident, but by divine call. And we were of the persuasion that God was going to give the increase. Now, did things happen as quickly as we would have liked? No. When we moved in, some friends of ours helped us to move in, and we were living in the upstairs portion of the fellowship hall. When you've got about 7,000 square feet, or no, when you got about 6,000 square feet of building and you've only got 10 people, then, you know, you've got a few rooms that you're not going to utilize. And so we were moving in up there, and a friend of ours said, you know, to my wife, well, how long do you think that you're going to be here in this, you know, living here? And my wife said, oh, we don't believe that it will be very long. God's going to grow the church, and we're going to be able to get a place of our own. And that was our mindset. And that lady just began to laugh and said, honey, that's exactly the same mindset that we had at the last place that we were at. And we lived, and I don't remember how many years they lived in the facility that they lived in. For us, it was 7 years. 7 years. A number of those years we were looking for a place that God would have us to be able to move into. But none of that deterred us from believing God for increase and making the most out of the opportunity that God had. Sometimes you are not going to achieve the same level of success numerically or statistically that other people may achieve. That is not your standard of success. When we compare ourselves by ourselves or by other people, we do ourselves an injustice. But when we compare ourselves to the call of God that He has upon our life for that situation and that circumstance, that's what determines success. Potiphar looked at Joseph and he said, this man is successful at whatever he does, and I don't believe it's his natural ability. I believe it is because of the presence of God. I believe that God is causing everything he puts his hand to prosper. And so he said, what I'm going to do, because I see God moving in that young man's life, that I am going to put him over everything that is in my house. It says here, then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. That was not just the material goods, but that was the workforce as well. In just a short period of time, we're not really told how long it was, this man, Joseph, went from the lowest level of servant to now he has been made the chief steward over all of Potiphar's house. I want you to see what happens when a godly man is put in authority. Okay? So it was from the time, this is verse 5, that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I want to ask you, are you praying for your job? Are you praying for your the company that you work for? And a lot of people say, oh, well, the company that I work for is not a Christian company. So I ask you again, are you praying for them? Are you praying for the souls of the people who own the company? Are you praying for God to get a hold of their life? But even if not, are you praying that the company will be successful? Now I want to put a little disclaimer in here. It needs to be it can't be a legal, immoral, or unconstitutional business. I'm not praying for an illegal business to become highly monetarily successful. But what I will pray is that God will make the company that you work for, he will make it successful because of the godly wisdom that you bring to the table. Because you are a covenant child of God, he will bless those who bless you. Okay? And so that's what Jeremiah told the people in Jeremiah chapter 29. Pray for Babylon. You know, you're not there to be a liability. You are not there to be a drain. You are there to be a blessing. Make it a better place. Make your company a place that has got more joy in it. And I've told you, you know, how we came to Florida, that I was bivocational. I was serving as an assistant pastor in a church, but I was also selling shoes. And, you know, I was there. I got a phone call, and they asked me to come to Melbourne. And I said, I've never been to Australia before, because I didn't know Melbourne, Florida existed. And they corrected me. That's how oblivious I was to the existence of Brevard County, Florida. And so when we came here about a year and a half later, my company went out of business. I remember how traumatized we were, because now here we were away from all of our family, and we were going to be without employment. The only thing is, we had a church family. And God, even in the midst of that transition, he blessed us to such a great degree that even when we were unemployed, we had more spendable income than we had when I was working, because we weren't paying for childcare. Now, I could not tell you all of the details of how God worked in that, but I just know, God, you brought us here, and you're going to make us successful. And we had prayed that God would make us, when we found out that the entire company was going out of business. I have a unique distinction. Every shoe store I ever managed went out of business, not because of anything on the local level, but because of things on a higher level. But I said, God, make us one of the most successful stores. Cause us to be one of the last ones to close. And that's what happened. What happened was, people saw how I operated during that time when our store was closing. And I want you to know, I had two more jobs selling shoes after that. One was a manager of another store in the mall, and he saw how I operated the shoe store, and he ended up hiring me as a salesman. And because a person saw how I worked in that store, which I eventually became the manager of, when he had a need, then he came and asked me, he said, would you come and help me to fill this need? Everywhere I've been, whether it's been working for a company or working for the king, I want you to know that I do my best to bring the best and to pray that God prospers it. And I encourage you to do the same. You want people to say, you know what? There is a noticeable timeline of when things turned around. And that timeline was when the man of God or the woman of God came to work here. That's what you want people to see. And so it was said of Potiphar that the Lord blessed everything in the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. He blessed everything in Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. It didn't matter where it was. Whatever Joseph was over, it was being blessed. And so Potiphar, because he was a man of wisdom and knew what success looked like and knew the timeline of it, that he looked and he said, you know what? I am going to put everything under Joseph's leadership to the point that he did not even know what he possessed. All he knew was that the food he was eating before him. There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, and it says, May the people who are over you spiritually, may you live your life in such a manner. This is a Bob Arthur's paraphrase version because we're getting short on time. May the people who are over you spiritually, may you live your life in such a manner that they are able to watch over your soul with joy. Make their job easy. And that's what Joseph did. God blessed Joseph and blessed Potiphar's house to such an extent that Potiphar, the only thing that he concerned himself with at his house was what he was eating for dinner. And I pray at work that you are a low-maintenance individual, that they're not constantly having to come over you and correct you and try to get you to be motivated to do your job. I pray that you are working as for the glory of God. Let's pray for our business. Are you thankful for your job today? Are you thankful that you have a place of employment? Let's pray that God blesses it in a godly manner and that people will know it's because of the people of God who are working there. Father, it's a Monday, and we got a work week ahead of us. And God, I just pray right now that you would give creative ideas to the men and women of God who are listening to this broadcast. Lord, that they would be found faithful, that they would be found faithful, making the most of every opportunity. God, I pray that there would be success with business contracts. I pray that there would be success with repairing things. I pray that there would be success in dealing with personnel decisions and personnel relationships. God, make companies prosper today because of the men and women of God who are serving for the glory of God. Lord, bless our businesses, bless our employers, in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And And I so long to sing you the song you do.